David Corey helped to write the Review of Environmental Factors, the REF.
We started in earnest in December 2003 at Chatswood, which was the Alliance office, and we were working in there with the designers, Coffees, the geotech consultants, people from Barclay Molam who were the builders, and we were writing the REF in there amongst the builders and the designers. And if you had a question on how do you pour concrete here, or we need the footprint for bridge piers, or any questions like that, we had it at an arm's length. And that was, I found, a brilliant way to do an REF, because we had our answers there and then on any aspect of design or constructability or what number of machines you would use to do this. And especially with the designers, we needed a photo montage very, very quickly. We had it in a day and a half. You know, nothing was too much. You could see that these builders and designers wanted to do something unusual, but I had to explain to the builders and say, look, fine, this is an urgent job, but we just can't go and build this thing. We have to go through an approvals process. And I explained the EIA process and what the REF was for. And there were some who just saw it as a hurdle to jump over. Why are we doing this? Why doesn't the government just pass a law? Yeah. Some people think the RTA has more powers than it actually has, and they're still surprised that we are required to go through this process. It was pretty stressful to get this thing out. It was a real team effort, and we were working till 10 o'clock most nights, a lot of nights. But we got it out, we made the launch date, and post-REF, didn't stop there. We had to go and have a meeting in town with our legal branch and talk about what conditions to impose on the REF. And we were treading, no pun intended, uncharted waters. We'd never built on or so close to the ocean before. And we were dealing with the Coastal Protection Act, Wollongong LEP, and do things go below the mean high water mark or above the mean high water mark, and who controls the intertidal zone. Issues like that we had never dealt with before. It was very interesting, but we got it through.
Maunsell Australia is the design partner of the Alliance. Peter Whiten, as the design manager, leads the team that has delivered the design of the two bridges, one of which will be the first curved balanced cantilever bridge constructed in Australia.
Everything was very evolutionary during the design process. Once we'd settled on the concept of two bridges joining together in the middle to make a single structure, we had to then look towards our international team for the correct expertise. We brought down from our Hong Kong office one of our lead engineers in balanced cantilever bridges, because the balanced cantilever component of the structure is probably the first curved in situ cast balanced cantilever bridge in Australia. The incrementally launched bridge is also possibly the tightest radius incrementally launched bridge done in Australia.
In designing the bridges, loadings have to be taken into account. Professor Harry Poulos is a senior principal of Coffee Geosciences and an expert in foundations.
When we're designing bridges and their foundations, we look at a number of alternative scenarios and combinations of loadings. So we look at the weight of the structure itself, we look at the load, what we call the live load, in this case the weight of transport that's going to use it. We look at wind, and we have certain combinations of those that are credible, and then we look at earthquakes. And generally, we figure that you're either going to get an extremely heavy wind or you're going to get an extremely bad earthquake, but not the two together. And so we have standard combinations of loading that we use in design. It just depends on the circumstances as to whether it's wind or earthquake that is the most critical component for the horizontal or lateral loading.